Our first Testament lesson comes from the book of Job. I'm in chapter 19, reading verses 25 through 27. Let us listen to what God is asking us to hear today. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. The word of the Lord.
We turn our attention now to the Gospel of Matthew. We are in the 28th chapter. This is Matthew's retelling of the resurrection story. So let us listen for the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message to you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of the Lord. The date was October 17, 1989. A date many of you may not even have been alive on. But out in a place called Loma Prieta, California, 50 miles from San Francisco, the earth began to shake and it spread. And the earth shook for only 20 seconds. And yet, The damage was 18,000 homes damaged or destroyed, 2,500 businesses damaged or destroyed, roads broken apart, driveways melting into the earth, $10 billion worth of damage. And the one image that those of us who saw this on the news, I think, will never forget is that part of the Bay Bridge leading into Oakland collapsed. Now, part of this damage, this destruction from only 20 seconds of shaking was certainly just from the movement of the earth. But a lot of this came from one other aspect of this earthquake that not every earthquake has, and it's called liquefaction. It's what happens when the earth shakes so violently that literally the dirt particles come apart, they scatter, and water is pushed up from beneath, and it comes up into this earth that is no longer solid, and it literally becomes like mud. Like wet sand. Any of you ever walked on the beach in the water and the wet sand and your feet just sink down in? Well, just think about that being 3 and 4 feet deep where all of this, it's called liquefaction, it just happens. And so what happened is buildings and bridges literally fell into the earth. There was nothing solid. that this earth that we walk on all the time and we think of as being solid, we can stamp our feet on it, there was nothing solid there. And the damage was horrific. That image of liquefaction kept coming back to me again and again this week as I read this text out of Matthew, and it talked about an earthquake. And I kept thinking that is perhaps the perfect metaphor, the perfect metaphor for what happened to the followers of Jesus. For 3 years, everything was solid. The ground on which they walked was absolutely rock hard. Jesus was the one who healed them. Jesus was the one who fed 5,000 people. Jesus was the one who walked on water. Even water was solid for him. Jesus was the one on whom they could always depend. Jesus was the one who forgave and welcomed in sinners and saints, men and women, young and old. He welcomed everyone into his community. He was the one on whom they could always depend. He was their rock, their solid foundation. And then he wasn't. He was arrested, tried, crucified, died, buried. It was as if everything that was solid in their lives had come apart. It was like liquefaction of everything they believed in, everything they had put their hope and trust in, everything that gave their lives meaning and purpose and hope. It simply dissolved underneath them. Everything crumbled. Their faith, their future, all gone. But then, on the first day of the week, as Mary Magdalene and the other Mary returned to prepare the body, to prepare it in a way that hadn't been before, they brought the spices. Suddenly, something happened. There was another earthquake, and there was this angel sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. And you would think in that moment that suddenly everything would be solid again. But if you read this text, it wasn't. The earth continued to shake, because even though the angel said, "Listen, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, the one that was crucified, the one that died. He is alive. Go tell his friends. He'll meet you in Galilee." But if you look at how they ran with fear and great joy. Any of you ever been filled with fear and great joy at the same time? You're shaking, right? You shake with fear, you shake with joy. The earth was still shaking because they didn't know if this was true. Was it real? Was it not real? Was this something solid that they can believe in? Was it maybe not? And then, Jesus met them. Notice the way Matthew puts this. He doesn't say they stumbled upon Jesus or they happened to see Jesus hanging out in the morning with a cup of coffee. They didn't say Jesus just was there and they noticed him out of the corner of their eye. No. Jesus met them. Jesus initiated the encounter. And I would argue that Jesus met them because Jesus didn't want them to shake anymore. Jesus didn't want them to be on ground that was liquid, in which their feet were bogging down. Jesus met them because Jesus wanted them to see that love and life had won, and hate and death had lost. That Jesus wanted them to see that everything was certain again, that the ground was firm beneath their feet, that they didn't have to fear. He met them. And notice carefully what they did. They fell at his feet and what? They took hold of him. Any of you ever stumble, trip? What's the first thing you do? You reach out. You reach out to grab hold of something, to steady yourself, someone next to you, something around you, right? This is what they did. They reached down and they took hold of him because suddenly alive, he was the one thing that was stable and steady. They wanted to be sure that their rock was real, that he wasn't a specter, a ghost, that he was real and there, and they could depend on him. Now, I don't know about you, but this last year has seemed like the earth has continued to shake and liquefy beneath my feet for a long time. The earth has been shaken by this pandemic. 550,000 people in this nation alone have lost their lives. Friends, family members, people we know and love. People sent to the ER and then into intensive care units that were overflowing and continue to do that even today. The earth shook. And the earth shook with protests for social justice over the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. The earth shook with mass shootings and the deaths of caring and brave peace officers. The earth shook with businesses closing, with job losses, with fights over masks and toilet paper. The earth shook. And with that, everything that we once thought of as being solid in our lives, right? Those things that we took for granted, suddenly they weren't solid anymore. We couldn't travel. We couldn't go see our grandchildren and our children. We were isolated. We were alone. We couldn't go to school. We couldn't go to work. Everywhere we went, we had to go like you all are this morning with our masks on. Everything solid just seemed to bog down. But I have to say, what it caused me to do was every morning to remind myself that there was still one on whom I could always, always depend. I knew every morning that my Redeemer lives. I knew that in this risen, reigning Christ, the one who defeated death and hate and brought life and love to bear in the world, that in him there was always hope. There was always something solid on which I could depend. This is what we can depend on. That even as this virus continues to spread with variants, even as we try and get everyone back to work, even as we reconnect with family and friends, and it is still a struggle, there is one on whom we can depend. And we can depend on Christ because he isn't just a spirit or a specter or a great figure from history or a once upon a time teacher. We can depend on him because he is the risen Christ who lives. And so what I want you to do this morning, when we come to the table, and for all of those of you in here, you have your small little thing with juice and bread. As we come to the table, I want you to hold it in your hands and feel the weight of it. Feel the weight of the risen Christ, of him fully alive, fully here for you and for me. And let that weight be a reminder that love and life always win, now and always. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you raised your Son from the dead, that you refused to let death be the last word, but that instead, your love and Christ's life win. Help us to hold on to that this day and every day. In Christ's name, amen.